Ask the MP. Ask the Right Honorable is in the hot seat. Ask the MP, ask the MP. With Farai on CFM Stereo.
It is Ask the MP only on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. Thank you for joining us this Tuesday evening. Tonight, we are discussing the environment ahead of elections happening on July 30th. And to do that, I'm joined by two representatives of civic society organizations. As you know, this effort does bring members of parliament as well as different civic society organizations and stakeholders to participate and to interact with you. I'll go straight into the introductions of my guests this evening. Simbarashe Moyo is the chairperson of the Combined Harare Residents Association. He also is a member of HAMREF, that is Harare Metropolitan Residence Foundation, if I'm not mistaken. Simbarashe, great to have the forum. Great to have you on the program, Simbarashe. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, and good evening to the listeners.
Alongside him is Reverend Dr. Kenneth Mutata. He's a member of the Zimbabwe Election Support Network, but he's also the General Secretary of the Zimbabwe Council of Churches. Reverend, great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, and good evening, Zimbabwe.
Indeed. Now, as I said, the focus of tonight's discussion is the electoral, well, the environment on the ground ahead of the election on July 30. Depending on who you speak to, you know, you will get different opinions and different voices. But certainly we've seen, in today's press, certain members of parliament being quoted as saying that, you know, this might be one of the cleanest, one of the best elections we've had in almost 50 years, more than 50 years, rather. We've had ZFM has spoken to several electoral contestants, and in our news bulletins earlier, we spoke to contestants across the country about the environment ahead of the election, speaking about the freedom that they have, the ability that they've had to go into areas that they want to do, to campaign as freely as they would like to. So clearly for many, the environment is conducive, the environment is free. I'll begin with you, Reverend Dr. Kenneth Mutata, obviously because you sit on ZESNY as well, so I think you're quite able to weigh in on some of these issues. Is this, you know, many people would say we've had a lot of elections in Zimbabwe, and it's unknown territory for us because things are peaceful. You would imagine that there's no election around the corner.
Yes, I think the answer is yes and no. The election environment, if you are comparing with the past experiences, I think this is an environment to be grateful of. There are still reported individual cases of violence, but actually, in comparison to the last 15 or so years, I think this election should be considered as peaceful. What we also see is that in the last, especially two elections, we have seen restricted space for political contestants to compete for the audience, restriction in organizing, in mobilizing. But we have seen in this campaign so far, we can see that if you have a political party, and there are many, if you have a political party, you can organize, you can invite whoever you want, and you can organize your rally freely. So in comparison, we are having one of the best environments for having elections. Having said that, there are other standards that are used to measure elections, and when then people start to use those standards, then you can say maybe there are some areas that will require improvement. When people use the standards, the SADC standards, when they use the EU standards, when they use the African Union standards, some of these standards we ascribe to as a nation. So therefore, they are not just some kind of idealistic standards that some people want to raise just to cause problem. I think these are standards that we have signed to. So it is legitimate for people to say, actually, if we use those standards, there are areas for improvement.
Indeed. Are some of those standards feasible and practical, given the reality, the situation on the ground and the time that we have?
Yeah, I think those are some of the issues to consider. Some of them require more time than we have. And therefore, they if you are considering the time we have now before the elections, you can see that it's a bit of a challenge for some of these changes to be made. Some of them are affected by the cycles of the parliamentary systems, because some of them should be legal. But others would argue that there are some which require political will, if only there is a decision by the powers that be to open space. There are some changes that could take place, and I think all these arguments are legitimate. We can see that some of the changes we need, and I think this is important for us Zimbabweans to recognize that some of the changes we need, having come from where we are coming from, some of the changes that we need are going to take a little bit longer time than we are comfortable with. But where possible, I think we need to make those changes that will make this election considered generally credible, free and fair.
Simbalashe, your thoughts very quickly in terms of the environment, and if you think we are on course indeed to having perhaps not a perfect election, but certainly one of the best we've had in recent years.
Thank you very much. Let me start from a question that you raised, that probably the time that you are left with, is it feasible to have some of these amendments that we wish to have, for instance, the legal side of our election? I would say, surely, to me, representing the residents, this is not the question to talk about time. My understanding is that we had all the time. I want to give you an example. The Electoral Amendment Bill was tabled in Parliament last year in September, only for it to be fast-tracked just recently with some piecemeal amendments, so to speak. So I don't think we must continue to talk about time. I mean, that we don't have time to do everything that we want to do. We had the time, but I don't know who was dragging things down. Things were dragged down to a certain point where people then said, okay, we'll do this later on. This can be shelved now. It will be discussed later on. I gave you an example of the Electoral Amendment Bill that was tabled in Parliament last year in September. 8 months down the line, now people are saying, let's rush this thing through so that we can have elections. So we have some people who are good at sitting on some of these things, so that when the real time comes, they will then start to raise issues related to time. So the, raising the issue about time, to me, does not make sense, so to speak, because people were sitting on these things. People were not making a lot of noise about these things. So don't talk about time. So that's my first point. My second point is that, to me, the electoral environment, as compared to other elections, probably I can concur with the Reverend Dr. Mdata, that is different from what we've seen before. But I'm not sure if that difference is enough for us to then conclude, probably after the elections, that it was credible, free and fair. I'm not sure about that. We're just witnessing another different election from the previous ones, from the 2013 one, from the 2008 one, from the 2001. So, but it must not allow us to then conclude that it was credible, free and fair, because there are a number of issues that we can talk about related to election preparedness. I mean, the electoral environment, the legal environment, and all these other issues related to a credible, free and fair election, the SADC guidelines. What have we done in terms of even aligning our constitution, I mean the Electoral Act, to the constitution, so that we have this credible, free and fair election? What we are hearing, in my view, representing the residents, the loudest voice is just talking about having credible, free and fair election. But I'm not seeing the action on the ground to, you know, support that. The action in the parliament to support that. The action elsewhere to support that, you know, mantra that we need to have credible, free and fair election.
Let me ask you this, and since you say from what you're hearing from the residents, yes, I think there are a lot of legal and technical things perhaps that need to be still need to be brought to the table, need to be addressed. As we said, some of them may require more time. But in terms of the view of the residents, as you speak to them, do you think that they will be able to, they know and are able to go out and express themselves and have the ability to make the choice that they want in this election, that they are informed well enough of the various options that are available, of the electoral process, of where they are meant to vote, and can freely say, this is what I've decided, this is who I want to vote for, and that I am able to go and vote for them.
I'm sure residents are going to do that, say for one or two sticking points. For instance, when the period to check our names opened up, Zeki came up with this new way of checking your names, you know, the *265# approach, which to me was not a proper way of checking whether your name is properly registered in the you know, in the voters' roll. Some of the people who used that system went on to physically check their names and they found some mistakes. So to me, yes, we are going to vote. We are going to cast our votes, but we still have some, you know, these sticking issues. For instance, you go there, probably use this 265, instead 265 hash approach, and then on the election day, you are told that your name is not properly spelled, or you are referred to as a female person or a male person in the register when you are male or when you are female. So these are some of the things, these small things that will affect the credibility of this election that you are talking about.
But we can't presume that those will happen. We assume, we can only then comment on those after they've happened, that I went and
my friend, we've had cases of people, I just told you, I testified, we've had people who, after using that *265# went on to physically check their names and discovered that there were some, you know, some irregularities in the manner in which their names were registered. And then they were then given these forms to say, when election date comes and then your name is not properly, you know, corrected, you're going to use this form to vote. So to me, these are some anomalies that will affect the credibility of this election.
When we then know how many people are actually affected in that way after the election, will we be able to? But again, at the end of the very good point you raise, and certainly the first time I've heard about it, I'd have imagined that you know, people were happy that Zek has taken advantage of ICT to allow people to do this without necessarily having to go to their polling stations. But nonetheless, I think no system is perfect. I want to talk about something that is making all the news, and that is this issue of the voters' roll. Now, for many people out there, we just hear voters' roll, voters' roll. Perhaps you, in your wisdom as a board member of ZESNY, but also as a representative of the residents, can tell us, why is this such a sticking issue? What is the significance of chichimborimu voters' roll chirikuitauti iveri nyaya no nets? Go ahead, sir.
I think the, you know, part of the struggle that we have to deal with is our past. We live in an environment of mistrust, because the way the electorate experienced the past elections make them to be suspicious of whatever process that the Electoral Commission carries out, and it's very unfortunate, because it's supposed to be one of the independent commissions, and therefore must be respected and be allowed to carry out their work. But in an environment of mistrust, this is very, very difficult to attain. The one simple example is that the fact that they could have been double voting, for example, in the past, is something that is attested to. The fact that the voters' roll in the past was not easily accessible. It was not accessed. Sometimes people could go after an election, they could go for years, having requested to have access to the voters' roll, the physical voters' roll, without accessing. So that's why I'm saying we are dealing with ghosts of the past. Now that we have this voters' roll, everyone is expecting to put their hands on it and to make sure that either, for some of them, so that they can be satisfied that actually the electorate, the people that they want to convince to vote for them, they are sure that they are on the voters' roll, and therefore that they are confident that their constituency is going to vote. For others, they are also looking if there are any errors, because if there are errors, then there will be reasons for someone to say there is something fishy around this. Because of this mistrust, there is also a suspicion that are there no ghost voters? Are there no names that have been put on the voters' roll of names of people who do not exist? And all these things. As I'm saying, this is characteristic of the environment of mistrust that we inherited from the past and that we still need to deal with. Having said this, we also have now accessed the voters' roll, and we are still also trying to familiarize ourselves with it. And I think there are many issues that we are also worried with about. First is that if the we hope that the right people have access to this information about me. And I think for me this is one of the concerns, because everyone is clamoring to have their hands not only on the finished voters roll but even on the primary data that was introduced to build this voters roll. And these days data is very precious.
It is gold.
And the concern that we should all have is whether this data is safe. That it is still in the hands of Zec, and it is not going to end up being received by other people who want to use it for other purposes. The other thing that we hope is also true is that we hope that this voters' roll represents at the highest level all the people that registered. We hope that all the people that are in the voters' roll are the people who registered, and therefore these are the people who are going to be voting. And I think if this is proved to be the case by those, I think it's much of it is quite is a technical exercise to really determine whether the people who registered are the people who are in the voters' roll. So for those who are going to be able to prove this, hopefully with the help of Zec, I think this will then contribute to whether the election process had some level of credibility. Because I think this is one of the primary benchmarks of measuring the credibility of an election process. If the people that are on the voters' roll are the people that are registered, then you have started on the right plane. But as I said, we are operating from an environment of trust. I think Zec could have helped itself also by being proactive in its communication. Many times people were not very sure when the voters' roll was going to come out. Some people ended up going to the courts. I think Zec could have helped itself by communicating. Because for your own information, this is the first time we have this method of voting and of building a voters' roll. Yeah. So I can imagine the struggles they would have faced when they found mistakes and so forth. And there is a possibility that no one could have predicted the challenges that they were going to face. What was required was they needed to communicate that we are having challenges in this area, so that the electorate, which are already restive, would have been calmed down. But as it stands now, the voters' roll is out, and those who want to have access to it can have access to it, and we will see what comes out of this.
Let me come back to you, Simbarashe. I can see some listeners getting in touch with us. Keep those messages and comments coming through. 0731-168-045. 0731-168-045. Simbarashe,
I think before you pose another question, let me answer the one that you posed first.
Okay.
Yeah. But to also remind the listeners that CRA is a member of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition. Just trying to, you know, to respond to the question that you earlier on put, the suspicion around Zec, around the voters' roll. Yes, there is a lot of suspicion. Actually, I would put it at grand suspicion around our electioneering process, around issues to do with the voters' roll. Zec opened up the voters' roll for inspection from the 19th to the 29th. Our understanding was that after that, they were going to, you know, come up with a consolidated voters' roll that was supposed to be shared with the candidates. before the sitting of the nomination court, right? That people had to file their papers on the nomination day without access, without the voters' roll, is to me a big anomaly, because when you file your papers, your nomination is supposed to be supported by registered voters. You go to your friend, 2, 3, 5 friends, and you ask, are you in the voters? And then they say yes. And then you base your nomination on that, you know, acknowledgement by your colleagues, and say, okay, these colleagues of mine are in the nomination. Only to realize on the day of nomination that probably 3 or 5 of your colleagues had their names wrongly spelled in the voters' roll. What does that mean to your nomination? It means that your nomination will be thrown out. Mm-hmm. So this is the reason why people are saying the voters' roll should have been given to the candidates well before the nomination court set, so that you are clear in terms of the people whom you use to support your nomination application. So probably this is one of the areas that creates, you know,
where any candidates affected by what you've just said, where I assumed that
candidates were not actually affected, because they were proactive. They had to visit the ZEC offices, the nomination centers, a day before the day of filing their nomination, just to check whether the people whom they put on their list of, you know, the registered voters to support their nomination were actually on the voters' roll. That to me is an anomaly, because they're not even supposed to go there. They were supposed to be presented with the voters' roll and then just pick for themselves, check for themselves.
But as the Reverend has said, this is a new system, and given that there will be challenges, ZEC then availed that option to say, we are not able to do what we're meant to do. Here is an alternative. If they had not offered an alternative.
I mentioned earlier on, my friend, that ZEC opened the process from the 19th to the 20th, so that people can check whether their names were in or not, had some irregularities, or were not properly captured by the officials or not. Why did they do that? It was simply meant to come up with a properly, you know, a proper voters roll, so to speak.
Okay, if no one was affected by what you've just said, why is that? Because ZEC is saying, look, I would have imagined they said, we are not able to present you the voters roll as you would like,
I've told you the reason why people were not affected. The candidates were proactive, because they are the one who is supposed to garner the votes, who are supposed to have your things properly, you know, captured and in good order before the nomination. That's the reason why people were not affected. They were simply ZEC was supposed to be proactive on that matter, but they did not do that, and they did not present the voters' roll to the, you know, aspiring candidates before the nomination court set. And that is a big anomaly which we must record.
Now, the question I was going to ask you before you weighed in and added your contributions to this is
come with your question.
Yes. If there are these anomalies and concerns and issues, why proceed to participate in this process that you clearly say there are anomalies? Why do we still see people who feel aggrieved putting their hats in the ring? And is that not legitimizing the process and saying we are happy with it?
Now, when you participate and you raise issues like this, you are not necessarily legitimizing this process. You are simply coming from a background that you are understanding that we are in a struggle. When you are in a struggle, everything is not presented to you. It does not come on a silver platter. You have to fight for it. So it's a process that we must keep on, trying to make sure that it is properly done. Each and every time we have elections, we try to correct these, mistakes, these anomalies and so forth. So we cannot then say, because I was not given the voters' roll in time, I'm boycotting this election. The election will surely go ahead, because if you boycott, it does not mean that the next candidate or the next 3 candidates share the same view with you. They will participate in that election, and in a way, they are legitimizing the election. You cannot single-handedly delegitimize an election.
Yes. Listeners getting in touch, Mushai in Cheetown says, my activists are anujgane violence this time, akuna food. Vajaira will not fight this time around. Thank you so much, Mushai Pachitown, for getting in touch with us. 0731-168-045. Certainly the issue of violence, I think we've spoken about and said that, there is this freedom that is there. I would like to ask, you know, obviously you represent Harare and Harare Metropolitan residents. ZESNY is perhaps wider reaching across the country. What is the situation, Privé? Because, you know, it's easy for us to see what we see here in the cities. Would you have some insights into what is the situation on the ground in rural communities, for instance?
I think it's now public knowledge that even though the inter-party violence has gone down, it doesn't mean that it has been completely eradicated. We are hearing cases. Actually, we were hearing yesterday that there's one member of one political party whose house was burnt in some place. So it's not that there is no violence at all. We also see that this time the violence also has taken a different shape. We are seeing more intra-party violence, conflict that is taking place within the same political party. And I think all these character are showing that we are not yet out of the woods. As a nation, the idea of solving differences using violence is something that is still upon us, and therefore we need to find a way of addressing it. Having said this, I want to reiterate what I said at the beginning. If you compare with the 2008 election, for example, where actually you had state-sponsored violence, this time, if this is the case, what we are seeing are the results of that. Many people are still intimidated. They are afraid of what happened in the past. And I think this is a reality that we need to deal with. We need to strengthen the resolve of Zimbabweans to say, if it is true indeed, in this period you are allowed to air your view without fear, you are allowed to go and cast your vote without fear, and your vote is your secret. And I think if we continue emphasizing this, we believe that maybe even that fear, which is generated from the past experiences, can also start to slowly wane.
Thank you so much. Before you come in, I just want to read this contribution, then I'll allow you to add on. Russell from Lawyer says, for me, there is no free election that is going to be held because ZEC is never independent, and it will never be, because if they included opposition parties to place voting polls around the country and then they go ahead and extend the number of these polls without including the same opposition parties. That's a contribution from Russell in Lawyer. Thank you so much. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Just to mention just two quick points, say that in my view, the infrastructure of violence has not been dismantled. It is still there and actually intact. What we have witnessed is a systematic way of just lowering the volume. The volume of violence has been lowered. And the people who have lowered it are the real, people who preside over this infrastructure of violence. But this time around, they don't want to see people beating each other. They don't want to see cases of violence being reported by the international community, the international media, and even the local media. They don't want to see that. What they are trying to push through is, a legitimation issue. They want to be legitimized, and when you want legitimacy, you do everything possible. You play all the tricks in the book to make sure that no one after the election will accuse you of having violated this or violated that. They will say the environment was friendly. Like we are confirming today and here now that people are not beating each other. They're not beating each other as compared to the previous elections. We're not witnessing hospitals being, stabbed by, being, inundated by patients of political violence. We're not having that. We're not having internally displaced people. We're not having all these previous scenarios that we have witnessed before. But what we are having are memories. Which have not been lost. People still have this. The memories are still vivid in these people. That at some point there was, massive violence. People being forced to do ABC. People being forced to leave their homes. People having their homes being burnt by the perpetrators of violence. So this is the situation that is obtaining.
Listen, in Mvurwi, I think coming back to the point I had raised and made to you earlier, Simbarashi, but let me, I'll take a couple of saying, look, isupa tinoda apana anomali. That's Mvurwi Babataku. So it comes back, I think, is the point I was saying, that if people are free to go and express themselves. So he's saying, regardless of whatever, of these anomalies, isupa trukudat topaziva, and we'll go and put our X there, regardless of all these other things that you talk about. But let me take a couple of more coming through, saying... thank you so much, Mandla Mpofu in Alicedale, Nyamandlovu, who says the credibility of the election is a process that might take longer, but we're happy that there is reduced violence. BVR is new to us Zimbabweans, and we are going to have a couple of errors here and there, so let's try and work together peacefully towards a new and better Zimbabwe. Thank you so much, Mandla in Alicedale, Nyamandlovu. Here's another one saying, I think... here we go. Can the two gentlemen tell the nation could the constitution yenyika inoti ipanya ye voters role? Uye ndizvo here zvirikuitwa nezek. I am Kuva from Cranbourne. I think that's a very good point there in terms of looking at it certainly from that constitutional point of view. Adikwa Honde says, I think the opposition doesn't give us confidence by always complaining when swimming with sharks and never show fear. Thank you so much for that. Here's one saying, my name is Mike from CBD. People and organizations like Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition thrive on negativity, and credible elections are not good for their existence. That gentleman in the studio berating Zek is one such example. Zek has made very decent efforts and I'm not sure what this word is, of negativism would be outed at every turn. But basically saying that, look, you know, there has been effort made, and certainly the point I was then going to come to, I would like us to answer that issue of what the constituent says around the voter's role, and if indeed what is happening is in breach of or not.
Okay, thank you very much. The constitution is the supreme law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I need to mention it very clear that issues related to the voter's role are captured more clearly in the Electoral Act, not in the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But the constitution, yes, some, you know, some issues related to the voters' role, related to our elections, related to our, you know, political rights and so forth. For instance, you can talk about section 67 that talks about our political rights as Zimbabweans.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to have a further discussion on that, you see that not all the Zimbabweans have been afforded the right to vote.
Uh-huh.
Zimbabweans living in the diaspora have been denied that right to vote. And we are talking about a right that is in the constitution, which is the supreme law of the land in terms of section 2. A number of Zimbabweans have been denied that right because of what Zek is referring to as logistical issues, logistical nightmares that may ensue if they allow people in the diaspora to vote and so forth. So not everything that Zek is doing is constitutional. Some of it is not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they are the ones that are related to the appointment of judges to the Electoral Court, which is in the Electoral Act. The Electoral Act talks about the creation of the Electoral Court to deal with election-related issues. We have had judges from the High Court being seconded to sit in the Electoral Court. But in terms of the law, again, this the same constitution. Section 183 is very clear that a judge cannot be appointed to sit in two courts.
Uh-huh.
These judges have been appointed to sit in the High Court. They cannot then be appointed to sit in the Electoral Court. So these are violations of the constitution that one can talk about quickly.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Let us never, this is another listener saying, let us never defend mediocrity. Can I say, please, because aspiring candidates are not a disadvantage. That's a listener getting in touch with a contribution. I didn't get their name there. I want to come in and talk about the issue of international observers, foreign observers. Now, and say that it is encouraging that we have so many missions that have, you know, been invited to come and will be here. And I would imagine that if there are these glaring irregularities, and or some of them are already on the ground, I know that some of them are meeting civic society, are meeting members of the opposition, are meeting across the board. If these issues are raised and put to them, I would imagine that they would also red flag them and raise them and point them out.
Yes, I think first of all, the international community is also appreciating the fact that they are invited to come and observe these elections. What we know, of course, is that the international observers will be looking at different things. We know, for example, some who will say for them they want to see where the electoral process should be praised for keeping up with the international standards and pointing out to those areas that will need improvement. For there are many international observers who are not coming here to say whether the elections were free, fair, and credible. That's not their reason of coming to Zimbabwe. Some of them are coming to support the growing of democracy, and therefore they will highlight where they think there are areas that need improvement and areas that needs a positive appraisal. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be actually a very interesting landscape of election observation, because I think one of the anxieties that we have from different actors is whether this election is going to be viewed as free, fair, and credible. But not everyone is going to make this pronouncement, mm-hmm. because for them, this is not a priority. For them, they are seeing a process of building a solid democracy, and therefore they want to highlight areas that need improvement and also to recognize areas. Myself, of course, here speaking from the Zimbabwe Council of Churches, we are going to be welcoming international ecumenical observers, starting with the arrival of the General Secretary of the Zimbabwe Council of Churches, who is coming on the 1st of July. We are also looking at having people who are coming here not only to come and observe an event, but to say, how do we build from this event a process in which we build a more solid democracy.
George says the environment is different from previous elections. Here in Mount Darwin, no one is being forced to attend party gatherings. Thank you so much, George, for that contribution. Here's someone saying ZEC is just an extension of the ruling party. They are in a Romeo and Juliet relationship. Anyone can take them for granted at his own peril. Nomination court sitting without a voter's role is joke of the century. Therefore, anyone who can dispute this can also believe that Satan is an inhabitant of heaven. Team Makumbepa Glenview, thank you so much for that contribution. Here's another one saying, I always listen to those guys in the studio. They sound like they are standing for all citizens, but in actual fact, they stand for opposition parties. I am Brighton in Nyazura. Thank you so much, Brighton, for your contribution. A couple of contributions here on the diaspora vote. Anzi, Begu diaspora ngasa vote. Why on earth should they be involved in a decision that they may not even have to live with? Vamwevavo vatuone ma citizenship kwa wakaenda ekoko sakazwe kuno vano zidi. Thank you so much for that contribution. There are a couple of more coming through. Here's one saying, ZEC has made a calculated decision in this election, hiding behind the law to cover their hidden motives. Common used words by ZEC is not there. His time is not there. The law, we are professional. Zimbabweans have read between the lines. That is coming from Prof in Borodale. Thank you so much for your contribution, sir. Anzivari diaspora vanoda kuvota vangadai vakadzoka zvediaspora vote zvinoda mari yakawanda yet Zimbabwe is poor. MaAmerican ari muno kana vachida kuvota they fly out. Those are some of the contributions coming through. Keep them coming through. 0731 168 045, 0731 168 045. That is certainly the diversity of the contributions that are coming through, and I think let me hand over to you very quickly, Simbarash, to respond to some of those issues.
Yeah, quite a number of issues being raised, and quite important points being also raised here in the studio by Reverend Dr. Mtata. I just want to come in and say that as we discuss about election observation, let's also be able to differentiate between observing an election and monitoring an election. Mm-hmm. You can invite 100 observer missions, but observers are merely observers. They just observe, and they don't have much room to question some of these, irregularities that we are talking about. Some of these, things that have not been done properly as we prepare for this election. But monitors have a bigger role to play on this election as compared to election observers. So I'm not even worried. I'm not convinced that even after inviting more than 46 observer missions, we're going to have something, very credible coming out of their press conferences after the elections. They are just observers. They will just observe. And once they finish observing, they will just tell you that what you have observed is A, B, C, D, and we are leaving. But election monitors don't do that. They go further than merely observing an election. So, mm-hmm. In my view, it was going to be better if you had more monitors than observers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, again, commenting on issues that are coming from the listeners who are actively following this program, issues related to that we will support the opposition and so forth, blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure about that, but we are here to share objective views to the best of our knowledge. In fact, we are just answering questions that you are posing to us, and we are doing this to the best of our knowledge, not being partisan, not following a certain political party line of thinking. No, we are not here to do that.
Very quickly, would you happen to know that differentiation, the distinction you've made between monitors and observers? Would you happen to know monitors, where they are from, and if indeed has that information been availed of when you observe missions and monitors?
What we are hearing about mostly is the issue of observers being invited to come and observe this election. We've been told through the ZBC that more than 46 observer missions will be in the country, but we have not been told about people who will be doing the real monitoring of the elections. I'm sure the government of Zimbabwe knows much about that. ZEC knows much about that, and we're expecting more from them than for it to come from us mere residents and citizens of this country. They must be able to rise above that and differentiate clearly and precisely that these are just observers and these are monitors. Monitors will be here probably 6 months before the election, and then they will not leave immediately after the election. They will leave well after the elections, well after the observers would have left the country, would have presented their reports, would have done their press conferences and, shared the information with the rest of the world.
Thank you for raising critical issues, Reverend Dr. Mtata, concerning the election environment. ZEC must indeed be more independent and cooperative. We look forward to ecumenical bodies and the World Council of Churches General Secretary coming. I am GC in Harare. Thank you so much for that contribution. I think Zimbabweans should be mature enough and love ourselves. Let us not send negative news about our country. People like the one in the studio just want to see Zimbabweans starving. That is coming from Godfrey Malbra. Thank you for your contribution coming through there. Rev, back to you. I want to pick up again on this issue of, the point, the question that I asked Simbarash and said, look, we've seen a rush of candidates lodging their papers with the nomination court, registering to be part of this process. If they had issues, if they had problems, should they have gone ahead to do that?
Yes, I think it depends on if you are not satisfied with the process, people should be allowed to have different ways of expressing their dissatisfaction. Others may say that they are going to boycott the whole process. Others will say half a loaf is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better that you participate. I would think that if we want to be more constructive, we need actually to have people who will say, I'm not satisfied with this process, but I believe so much in democracy. I'm still going to present myself as a candidate. I hope that in so doing, I continue to campaign that we have a system that creates even playing field for everyone. You know, as far as I'm concerned, we are a one nation that is deeply wounded, and therefore the level of fragmentation in our society tells when you are having a discussion like this. People already put themselves to the extreme ends of positions, and therefore, for us to have a civilized conversation in which people can say, actually, as a Zimbabwean, I believe that these are areas that we are doing well, and these are areas that we need to improve. And I think for me, this is the struggle that we still have at the moment. Zimbabwe need to be grateful that so far we have had some improvements. And I think we need to take this into consideration. But we should not be satisfied with where we are at the moment, because there are so many things that still need to be done. And I think if we take that approach, it doesn't matter where you belong politically, because you can still say, I think here we are doing well, but I think there are areas that we need to improve. It's only when we start to have that kind of conversation that we become constructive. At the moment, there is a lot of anger, there is a lot of hurt. So for us to have a conversation around elections that dignifies, for example, the work of ZAC, the institution, not the individuals who are there, the institution that dignifies the institution, I think we are still very far from that. But I think with such a conversation, I hope we grow to a point where we will be able to be different without necessarily being too polarized as a nation.
My final comments and things I would like to talk about, I think, is the issue of voter education, and if indeed you think enough is being done, because we may take it for granted that people know that there's a completely new voter's role. So there are some people who are here in BVR and they are in Ndagara Ndichi voter, so anyway, my name is there. There are some people who might think that. There are some people who may not know, even having gone through BVR, that yes, I've been told I must vote at this polling station, but Nanda Jairout, I can go anywhere in Hatfield. Yeah. So all these new things that are there. Voter education, is there enough time for it? Is enough being done to actually ensure that the voters who do go there are fully aware?
I think this is a fundamental question. There is a big problem right now because voter education has been very, very low. Mm-hmm. We can ascribe this to many reasons. One of which I don't think there is enough resources that are put in voter education. Both, I think, from the state side, but also from civil society. Civil society funding, which used to contribute to voter education, has gone down drastically. Mm-hmm. And I think we have seen very little voter education. To be honest, there are many, many Zimbabweans who do not know, who do not understand the current electoral environment. Mm-hmm. We have gone to register, but who do not know whether for example, when they are told to submit their serial numbers, whether someone is going to know who they voted for. This is a sign of ignorance, because someone believes that if I show someone my serial number, which means that they are going to know whom I have voted for. Mm-hmm. So I think we are desperately in need of increased voter education. But I think we also need to start to think about citizenship education, because I think voting is just a small part. The broader issue that I think we will need is citizenship education. People to understand, as a citizen, what are my rights and what are my obligations. And I think it is when we start to play this role, it is very, very possible that our participation also in the elections will mature. We will see, for example, increased internal democracy in the political parties themselves. This is what we have seen, even though we are talking about democracy as a nation. Internally in the political parties, we can see that there is a struggle to appreciate difference within the political parties. Mm-hmm. And this is one sign that our understanding of being citizens with rights and responsibility has not been properly inculcated in among citizens.
And lastly, to you, Simbarashi, I mean, you raise a very good point there, Rev, where you talk about citizenship education. And in fact, you know, I think also where we need some education is the candidates themselves, because, you know, the sheer number of people I've seen throwing their heads into the ring, particularly for parliamentary positions and all these things, I think there might be a misconception that, you know what, being an MP comes with all these rich pickings and it's access to money and all these sorts of things. So I think in that respect, maybe that's why there's such interest into getting into some of these, whereas we shouldn't view These are servant positions. And even the electorate must also know that an MP is not a burial society sponsor. So can we get there?
But I think you need to agree with me that politics is the fastest growing industry in the country.
Yeah.
We've been noting this over the years, the past 10, 20 years. Everyone, you know, would want, everyone is itching to join politics. And the reasons are pretty much clear to everyone. It's just the, you know, the shortest route to getting rich. Mm. Join politics, the next 2-3 years, you are rich. I mean, it's clear, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. Me and you have seen it. We have observed it on the ground, and we've seen people getting rich just by joining politics. That is why I'm concluding that is the fastest growing industry. But coming to the issue that you've just, you know, you've just been talking about with the Reverend Dr. Mtata, the issue of voter education and so forth. Farai, I'm not here to bury Zek, but I want to believe and agree with everyone that Zek is entirely to blame on the issue of voter education. Why? Because Zek has maintained a monopoly over the issue of voter education by criminalizing the civil society and the other, you know, progressive organization from embarking on voter education before, during, and even after elections. People have been asked, you know, to submit a whole lot of things to make sure that you get that status of being able to go and, you know, embark on vote, be it in the urban areas and even in the rural areas. We've been asked to submit a whole lot of things to qualify to do that. So it is Zek which is entirely to blame for that issue. And coming to the issue of the electoral amendment bill that was presented, it is one of the issues that was also tabled, I'm sure, by the opposition, that we must remove the monopoly of Zek on voter education. But if you are to check on the amendments that were taken on board, that issue was ignored. So we are still in the same basket that we've been. We are going to have Zek maintaining this monopoly over voter education, criminalizing on, you know, the civil society that would want, civil society organizations that would want to carry out voter education, even after this election that we are going to get into. So Farai, we'll discuss this probably 3 years after this election. We'll be having the same challenges, no solutions, same problems, no answers.
We certainly hope not, and hope that you know, this process, this journey that we've begun, will get better. What remains is for me to thank you, Simbarashi Moyo, chairperson of the Combined Harare Residents Association, as well as a member of the Harare Metropolitan Residents Forum, alongside Zesni board member, as well as General Secretary of Zimbabwe Council of Churches, Reverend Dr. Kenneth Mtata. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming through to the program. It's been a pleasure having you. It's also been a pleasure interacting and engaging with various listeners across the board who've gotten in touch with us, who've shared their views. It's always great to hear from you. Keep those messages and contributions coming through. This program belongs to you. We wouldn't be doing it except for you. I also want to thank all the listeners who perhaps didn't get an opportunity to respond, to participate, but were listening nonetheless. It's always great, and that's why we do this. ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. Ask the MP, only on this station. Up next, Health Matters with Larry. That and a whole lot more coming your way, so keep it here.